month of June is a time to celebrate for all those within the dairy industry. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Rural Perspectives podcast. I'm Adam Albrecht with Egg Country Farm Credit Services. Today, I'm pleased to be joined by Kim and Ken Hyman, owners of Naysonville Dairy near Marshfield, Wisconsin. Kim also serves as the president of the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association, and Ken serves as a board member of the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. Welcome, Kim and Ken.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, and thanks for coming out to visit us here. This is fantastic.
Not a problem at all. As I just mentioned, June is Dairy Month, which brings with it a whole host of fun events, such as Breakfast on the Farm. Kim, how important are these events for connecting those that produce the food with those who consume it?
Oh, it's fantastic because there's such a generation that's removed from the farm now. You get to have these people come out and see where your food is actually produced right on the farms, see the dairy animals, you know, and see the true facts about these farms are doing a fantastic job with these animals. They're catered to, they're fed well, they're treated well, and that's a huge thing. And just being able to promote our dairy products is huge. When you have an industry that means this much to the state of Wisconsin, finance-wise, to be able to promote that is astronomical, to be able to do that and right on the farm locally where everybody can see close by.
Dairy is unquestionably important to the Wisconsin economy, to the tune of over $43 billion every year, or to think of it differently, $82,500 per minute. What about this state do you feel makes it such a great place for an industry like this?
I'll turn that one to Kenny on the farm side.
Well, I guess what it really comes down to in Wisconsin, the reason that this is so important is it's our abundance of water. It's, you know, the soils that we have, the climates that we have. We've been given this, you know, by God's graces, and it becomes our responsibility to take care of it. But the biggest of all things is that it allows us to create things that can't be created anywhere else. The waters in Wisconsin are very close to those you'll find in Black Forest of Germany or the Swiss Alps. The minerals that are in there are the same ones that create the rival flavors that we find in our cheeses today. So what we do with these is so important to us, and so we have this idea that, you know, how are we going to get from point A to point B? And we become very good at it. We continue to find new ways of making it work, but it's all about the history that's been created here.
Now, when someone asks you guys, what is it like to be a dairy farmer? What do you tell them?
It's a heritage. And you have to understand that you can have as many as four generations on the same farm, way back to great-grandpa to the youngest being born. So it's passion. It's all about the passion that people have about being a dairy farmer. They've been given the care, custody of the land, and it's their God-given belief that they have to understand that. They have to take that to heart. If they have that in their heart, they can do wonders with it, and they work very hard at it. Today's economy calls for being better and better at what you do, and they've become better and better at what they do. But with doing that, it all comes back to being responsible to the land, the people, and the cattle that are there, and all the crops that are being produced.
You put that in a great nutshell, you know, and on the cheese side of things, you know, when you ask somebody wanting to get into the cheese making side industry, you know, it's a fantastic industry to get into, because as you grow and continue on into the businesses, these businesses will continue to send you to school. The Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association works really closely with the Center for Dairy Research down in Madison, and that's a huge adversary for us. And so what happens there is you get an individual who's really interested into the art, not just the artistry, but also the chemistry side of cheesemaking, because there's two sides to make this happen. There's the artisanal side, and then, of course, the chemistry side of breaking it down. And so being able to have that individual, you continue to send them to the classes for Center for Dairy Research, and as they learn more through those classes and through working for you, they continue to move up the ladder. So it's a great way to get not only educated, but promote yourself within a business. And we're very fortunate. We've got about 100 people here at Naysonville Dairy, and we're just, it's a fantastic group, you know, and we couldn't do anything close to what we do without them. We have a lot of family, true, but our workforce is second to none.
Now, cows don't recognize federal holidays. meaning this is a job 365 days out of the year. How does this industry differ from other industries within agriculture?
Probably comes down to a lot of it when it comes to ag in general. We only work on days that end in Y, which means Saturdays, Sundays, holidays, and all days in between. It is different, and that has spurred a lot of the things you see today with, and the dairy farm side of it, you see it with, you know, the robots, you know, what's out there. Geez, can we get robots to do this? You know, you see it with, you know, how do we, instead of spending days and days on getting something done, equipment has been changed to sizes that are versatile and will actually work for you to get things done quicker and become more efficient. But the care and custody of animals is your responsibility. And from the dairy farm side of it, it is. I mean, I have drivers that pick up milk every day, you know, all day long, and has to come into this plant, and we have to be able to operate from there. But Kim can handle the cheese side of it. So,
and there again, it's the matter of you need to have a good work team. You may have 15 to 20 individuals working together in a spot on a floor. They have to work together as a team, because otherwise, it's no fun being at work. You need to create that type of an atmosphere to have the longevity of it. And the other side of that is, and you're always looking for the most ergonomical way of doing things, the things that, and as Kenny said earlier, the automation that comes into play, making it a lot easier as compared to, you can talk to anyone from years ago, you know, they walked uphill to school both ways, you know, and things are a lot easier than what they were then. And they are, but they're also more efficient than what they were back then. And it's putting out a true quality product, but it's the passion of it that creates a great workforce.
Now, you touched on this a little bit, but like many dairy farmers in this state, your family has a long history and long tradition of dairying. What does it say about the industry to have so many dedicated families continue to do this type of work generation after generation?
It all comes down from, you know, depending on where you want to start with, but it all really comes down to love of family, love of land, and creating, and love of producing something that we take a lot of passion in. I mean, whether it be the milk that's produced on our farms or whether it's the cheese that's produced here at Naysonville, it's all about the passion that has been developed within the family. I mean, like we said before, when we were talking about family, it's all about heritage and what you could do and what you should do and what you are held to do and what you are expected to do. So it's all about what are we creating today? We need to create things that people are looking for. It continues to change. At one time in this history, if you made cheddar cheese, that was fine. And as that began to change, it continued to change, and on we went, on to the new products, new standards, new everything that's being created. So every day there's something that comes along. So I guess, but when it comes down to the people, it's all about, you know, the passion that they have and how do they get there. And they have to love what they do or they aren't going to do it, as Kim said.
And you can't force them into doing it. You know, it's, you don't want to build an operation without their input and say, I'm going to build this for you. Well, if they're not wanting to do that, don't force them into that corner. You know, before you go adding on to an operation, make sure that they're wholeheartedly invested into it and that's what they want to do. Because not, believe it or not, not everybody wants to make cheese. I can't believe it, but by golly, that is true to the fact. And so that's just something that's out there. So, you know, you have to have the passion for it, but you can't force that into an individual either.
Do you feel that this message of tradition and family resonates well with consumers when they pick up some of your cheese?
Oh, without a doubt. One of the new things that you see with the millennials that are out there now is they like to shop local. You know, they like the farmers markets. They like to come out to the local places to see where it is. It's the food to fork programs that are there. They want to know that I know exactly where that comes from.
We spend a lot of time working with people to understand the fact that when they're in a store, that they know who the cheesemaker is on the other end, who the dairy farmer is on the other end. They like the transparency. They like to be able to say, I know exactly where that farm is. I know exactly where that cheese plant is. I bought things there, but now I'm picking it up in the grocery store, which is fine, but I'm just saying, I know exactly what I'm getting and where it's coming from.
We are speaking with Kim and Ken Hyman of Naysonville Dairy. Now, transitioning over to the cheese side full-time, there are over 600 varieties of cheeses made here in Wisconsin, which represents a little over one-fourth of the nation's cheese. That's far more than any other state in the country. New varieties seem to keep popping up. What's fueling the creation of these new varieties?
Today's generation really likes the bold tastes of things. They're out there, they want, when it comes to something that's warm-flavored cheese, they don't want the standard pepper jacks anymore. They want something that's into the ghost pepper or the scorpion or the Carolina Reapers, things like that. Things that you never heard of years ago. As Kenny said, you know, earlier it was mostly cheddar cheeses that were made in the state. But in order to survive and be competitive, you have to be able to have that specialty side of things and be able to supply what today's consumer wants. So you'll see that's where the number of different varieties are coming in now. The other thing today's consumer wants is they want to be able to, as you said earlier, read that label. They want to know where that product came from, and they want it to be food service friendly. Everybody is just short on time, busy world, so they want to be able to take that product, take it from the shelf, from the refrigerator, serve it, and be done. And so that's a great thing.
One of the big things is people, young people, people in general today travel more. The more they've traveled the world, the more cheeses they've seen, the more education they've gotten on them, the more they want to bring that back home. And it's not unusual. In Wisconsin, we're very lucky to have a place called the Center for Dairy Research. And they help us out with unbelievable tools on. We'll get some cheese that somebody will bring us, and it really is good, and it's from Europe, or it can be from anywhere, Thailand. As Kim said, when he's referring to the heat, and a lot of these are coming from Thailand. They eat cheeses eat products that are unbelievably hot. But we look at these all the time to say, okay, can this be created here? What can we do with it? As you said, you know, we continue to see these continue to change all the time.
For those listening along, could you give us an idea of how many pounds of milk it takes to create the cheese consumers eat?
Well, today's consumer is taking in about 34 pounds of cheese on an annual basis. So that would be at a 10-to-1 ratio, about 340 pounds of milk, or just short of 40 gallons of milk per year that is converted into the cheese side of things to satisfy today's consumer.
And so how much time does the cheese making process take?
It depends upon the type of cheese. Now, if we're making a standard cheddar cheese, we can probably go from milk to a 40-pound block in a cooler in about 4 hours, 4 to 4.5 hours. If we're making our feta cheese, which we make on the other side of the plant, that's a 24-hour process, because what you make one day sits and drains in the draining room and then goes into a salt brine the next day. So there's a difference of time-wise depending upon the type of cheese you're making. So it can be very quick, a cheddar, Colby, things like that. Or, you know, if you want to go into some of the hard parms and things like that are going to age and sit on some shelves, you've got a number of days before you're actually ready to eat them.
The popularity of cheese in this state is so ingrained in the culture that it's even been adopted as a symbol for your beloved Green Bay Packers. What would you say this symbolism means for all those working in the industry?
It's a pride thing, without a doubt. It's no different than having the pride of your local high school, the pride of your college, you know. And, of course, being from Minnesota, we'll have to pick on you a little bit, you know, because of the Packers and the Badgers and things like that. And it's certainly a pride issue, because it's something that you can say, hey, I'm part of that. That's part of the industry that I work in. And so that's what you want to invoke into your employees when they see something out there. See, hey, this is a part of you. You're the reason that this happens.
Every day we try to instill in our people who work for us, not only our family, but the people who work for us, what you're creating here. You know, it's all about, we have all the criteria, we have everything, but you have to realize that somebody's going to consume this. It's got to be the best it can be. And you're part of making it the best it can be. So if that's part of your job and that is your job, then, you know, we need you to come through on that part. So we see this all the time. And so when product hits the shelf, we want to make sure that it's the best it can be. I mean, that's what we understand. I mean, we've had the pleasure of, we have cheeses that leave this country that go to places like China and other places in the world, Canada, Saudi Arabia, you know, all over the world. And the thing that they count on the most is that we ask the Chinese, well, why are you buying Wisconsin product, or why are you buying cheese in the U.S.? It's all about the Chinese trust Americans. They have no question whatsoever. Most places in the world trust the American criteria. So that's what it takes.
So you guys have been doing this for a few years, it's safe to say. A
couple.
You've obviously consumed a fair number of varieties of cheeses. What's your favorite?
For me, it's a beautiful sharp aged cheddar. Something in that 8 to 14 year range, and maybe have a little bit of the enzyme crystals on the outside of it. That's, to me, that's what I really love.
We were born and raised in cheese, so undoubtedly a lot of times I'm in the same camp he is with getting something that's, when something has to be here for 14, 15 years to be the best it can be, you can't ask anymore. If I was going to take something that was on the short hold, a lot of times I can deal with the flavors, you know, but a lot of times it could be a baby Swiss, something that's utilized more.
Now, there are some sectors of agriculture, such as the dairy industry, that require a larger workforce. We already touched a little bit about on this earlier, but how does a tight labor market impact the work that you do?
Well, there's a lot of great people out there in the workforce. There's just a huge competition for them, and that's what's happening right now. So what happens is you try your best to hang on to the people that you have that are fantastic, and sometimes that's pay incentive, and it's not always. Sometimes it's just actually more responsibility, getting them more, this is your area, this is what you control. Those are some of the things that we do, and educational-wise, things like that. But it is a tough competition. The other part of it is you're going to see, you see more and more automation coming into the factor. Number one, it makes the job life easier. It's not quite as much of the bulwark and bulk work that it was before, and that makes it, of course, more enjoyable. But the other side of it is you just don't necessarily have that person. And as you said, a lot of these things are running 24/7, and when you turn the machine on, they don't know if it's Memorial Day or New Year's Day or Thanksgiving or Christmas, and it makes no difference to them. They have nowhere else to go. The machine has nowhere else to go.
Like I said, you know, I guess like Kim's saying is exactly right. There is a rural labor shortage. I know a lot of times we talk about immigration or we talk about this reform and that reform, but it's just a plain rural labor shortage, and it's tough. I mean, we are very fortunate here at Naysonville, but we have been very blessed with some of the people that we have that are from the Ukraine. We have some people from the Philippines. We have some people from other parts of the world. I mean, we undoubtedly have our, I guess we use the term Mexican group of people. We have, they're super. I mean, we have a very vast array of people, but it takes a vast array of people. And as Kim said, some of them find it absolutely fascinating and they absolutely enjoy it. And that's what we have to look for. As he said earlier, it's all about enjoying what you're doing.
You mentioned immigration, and that's a little bit of a segue, or the perfect segue into my next question. It's well known that dairy operations oftentimes look to immigrant labor when positions go unfilled. Given the work that you do with your respective groups beyond this cheese factory, how closely are you watching how the federal government looks at immigration reform? What are you hearing from other people within the industry?
Well, it's a huge thing to be able to get an opportunity. A lot of the Ukrainians that we get here, they come in for a two-year work visa, and then they're back to the Ukraine. The idea of what they learn here is to take some of that information back with them and build their industry there to make themselves more self-sufficient, so they aren't having to buy, you know, they're in the world's breadbasket there, so not having to buy all of their products or import all of their products. So that's one way of doing things. But the other thing is just being able to work closely with our representatives. Wisconsin Cheesemakers has an actual policy committee that works with representatives in the capital here at the state and on the national level so that these people are up to speed on what's happening. When you're a congressman and you have a number of different bills following you around, you can't always pay as much close attention as you could or should. And so what happens is you have to continue to inform them on what's going on.
What Kim's saying is absolutely right. We follow H-2Cs. H-2C would be a three-year visa. Now, to us, it's only practical because you've vested all the time in these people as far as our government letting them in. I'm going to refer to the people that come in here from the Ukraine. They have the minimum of 4 years of college, minimum Bachelor of Science. I said that's, and then it has to be converted to a 3.0 grade point average to the U.S., and they have to be able to speak English. Now, you've gone through all this time. They can have absolutely no police record before they ever get here. And if they do get a police record when they're here, then they're gone. But it's all about the idea that these are super people. They're super. Well, you give them to us for this short period. Would you give us just 3 years out of it? Because we've invested all the time and money into them, and they've got to go back, because if they don't go back, they can't come back. And it's 6 months, where the other program's got, it gives them, they have to go back 45 days over the three-year period and whatnot. It's, they've invested all the time as well on the other end of it, vetting them and taking care of all. Just look at this a little bit wider, would you please?
What advice would you have for someone listening along that might be interested in becoming a dairy farmer or cheesemaker?
On the cheesemaking side, it's a great opportunity. I mean, and the sky's the limit. And you talk to some of these people who are now corporate individuals. They started out on the floor as, you know, running, finishing, working with the finishing tables or in a CIP program, and just continue to work themselves up the ladder through this program. And that's a very wide range and possibility that you can do. It's not going to happen overnight with by any means, but in the meantime, you're going to earn a good wage, and these individual companies are going to pay for your schooling to do it. You know, it's when you get out of it and you don't have student loan and you've got a full-time job and it's got the benefits and pension program and things like that, it's a fantastic way of doing things. But you have to be able to love what you do, and you have to realize it's not going to change overnight. You know, it's that stepping stone is going to take a little while to move up that ladder, but the ladder's there. It's just a matter of going up it.
And on the other side of it, when you talked about farming, it's exactly the same thing. Some of these people who would like to farm and believe they would like to farm, they should look at a good-sized farm. I mean, there's some good money to be made there. You can work all the hours. If you have the ambition level to go with it, you're going to have that to make it on your own. So if you're going to help this guy out that owns his farm, that's great. He's going to compensate you accordingly. But you're also going to learn. And like any education, it costs money. Well, sometimes it's better if it's his money than your money. So as you look at this and say, how can I make this work? And if you become so valuable in that farm, you may be given the opportunity to own part of that farm. You know, there's a multitude of different ways. Some of these large farms are going to be transferred, and the only way they're going to be efficient is by doing this. But you also will establish your love of either the land, the cattle, you know, the care and custody of feeding, and you're going to be given that opportunity. As Kim says, you know, with what we do here, you're going to be given the same thing in agriculture, and this may be the right way to go. If you are going to save up all the money that you've made at a job downtown and then go try to invest it into a farm, go make sure it's what's in your heart. If you have the passion for it, so be it. But you better find out first. Find out the cheapest way you can.
Are there any places where listeners could go to learn more both about your industry and your own company?
Oh, yeah, certainly the web has a ton of information on it. You can go to the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association. They have a website there, and they're also on Facebook. You can see a number of the things that they're doing. The same with Nasonville Dairy. They have their own website, and they're on Facebook. So you can see some of the information, some of the things that are happening there. Some of the job openings are potential that may be there. On the farm side, you have?
It's the same thing with the Wisconsin Dairy Farmers. You can go there. They have a ton of information there. We also have just different places. There's a multitude of things you can do with the Department of Ag in Wisconsin. there's places that you can go to get just tons and tons of information. Some of it may be repetitive, some of it may not be practical, but there is a lot of information there. But you can go there, and it's there to be found.
Well, gentlemen, thanks for chatting with us today.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah.
That's Kim and Ken Hyman, and they own Nasonville Dairy near Marshfield, Wisconsin. That's a wrap for this episode of the Rural Perspectives podcast, which is a production of Ag Country Farm Credit Services. To get more great content, please visit www.agcountry.com.